Infinity War news and humans news. And y'all, Misty Knight's got the bionic arm. This is episode 145, Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Welcome. We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode number 145, and we're coming to you live from Atlas Comics in the 1950s on the 14th floor of the Empire State Building because happy birthday, Jack Kirby. Happy 100th.
The king.
The king. Happy birthday to the king. Marvel Movie News is where we tell you the news from all the studios and why you should be just as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News. You can find us on YouTube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can find us through their website, PopcornTalkNetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN. We do have a Facebook. We do, I swear. We kind of look at it. And if you tweet a link out to our show with a message telling people about the live chat, then Aunt Manthony in the booth will retweet you.
Hello, everybody. Sorry I'm a little late. I'm took a little trouble getting up on my seat because how tiny I am, you know.
Yes, he's I think he just visited the macroverse.
Right.
Macroverse?
I think we're the macroverse.
We're the macroverse. Yeah.
The microverse. Or for legal reasons now, the quantum realm.
Oh, that's right. The quantum realm, indeed. And that voice that you hear is Alan Kessler. He's joining me today, comic book historian and video game writer extraordinaire.
Whoa.
And then also, of course, we have our associate producer, Ollie Dreamboat. Ollie Dreamboat.
Oh, Ollie Dreamboat. No, I prefer Dreamboat. I have to change my handler, my Twitter handler. My Twitter handler.
I was about to say, you have a handler just for Twitter? Jeez.
I do.
You are so leveling up over me. Jeez.
Sorry.
I think just all of us have the misspeaks today. And I'm Marquee McCarty, and you can follow me at Marquee McCarty, MarkeeMcCarty. So Matt and Coy are off burning men for this week and for next week. So we will be holding down the fort with all of this awesome Marvel movie news for you. But how was everyone's weekend? I had a birthday this weekend. It was
happy
awesome.
Birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
You too.
Thank you. And I'm going to just, you know, address the elephant in the room. Yes, I have an eye patch on.
Right.
Yeah. It is not cosplay.
Okay.
It is for medical purposes. Okay. I scratched my cornea like a couple of days ago, so light sensitivity. You know, it was a Thunderdome accident.
No, it happens.
Yeah,
stuff gets real.
You look awesome. You should see Tina Turner though. So
you look awesome. Okay?
I took down the queen. Thank you, thank you. I appreciate that, Ollie.
Can you like just please wear it all the time? just like. Even if your eye's not damaged, because I prefer it.
Oh, thank you. People have been really nice to me since I've been wearing this, so there is that.
I figure you're going to cut someone.
Oh yeah. I kind of feel like I'm kind of like a pirate mixed with a ballerina. With just like
I dig it. I would read that comic.
Yeah?
Yeah, pirate ballerina.
Nice. Oh.
Holy crap. That sounds amazing. Don't you just want to read it right now? It's amazing.
I like Domino and Nick Fury, personally. That's what I'm seeing.
Ooh. Okay, you know what? I'll take it. I'll take it. Thank you, Domino,
director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Also down.
I do have Nikki Fury cosplay, I agree with that. Yes, since it's me, we're starting off with Black Panther.
Of course.
So a little bit of Black Panther news, just something more of like what Black Panther can mean to some of the actors that are in Black Panther. And we have Sterling K. Brown. He spoke to People, and he explained how important Black Panther is to just shaking up the dynamic on big screen. And his thing was, I get to take my kid to go see Black superhero movie, and he gets to see an image of himself as a man. Chadwick Boseman looks like me. He looks like my son. This is one of those things where, you know, representation is important. Representation matters. He goes on to say, listen, I've been practicing my Wakanda. I know you've already got the titular characters taken care of, but how can I be down? Because, man, it's a Black superhero. It's huge. So you just love that. He can't share details about his part, obviously.
Sure.
Other than, you know, part of T'Challa's past. It's great. He says, I don't have a huge part, but I have a good part. And there are no small parts, only small actors. And Sterling K. Brown, and I believe he's in The People versus O.J.
Yeah,
the
he Netflix. Was great.
Yeah,
he
is not a small
that.
Actor by any. And I mean by content of acting character.
I mean, that's the thing that really, one of the many things that gets me excited about Black Panther is the quality of the actors who are here. You've got so many people. God.
Angela Bassett.
I mean, Angela Bassett, who was always one my pick for Storm back in the day. And I just,
preach.
You've got all these people who have a presence, who truly are actors. They're not here to be themselves saying someone else's words or just, you know, stepping into someone else's world. They are actors and they can give a presence. And they can convey things with just their eyes and like a tightening of their jaw. And I mean, you could see that with him just in OJ, in the People versus OJ Simpson. So I'm excited as hell. Whatever he's doing, like, it's going
to
be good.
Yeah, absolutely. And for him to be excited enough that he's already chomping at the bit to take his son.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here for it. And then continuing with that, well, we already kind of had confirmation that Shuri would be in Avengers Infinity War because her stunt woman was listed in IMDb. But now we definitely have, I guess, uber confirmation. So along with a recent report from IMBD, so we know that Black Panther star Letitia Wright, she plays Shuri. She has confirmed on Twitter her involvement in Infinity War. So, yes. All the yes with this. She's a tech warrior, amazing. You know, tech warrior, amazing. She's got everything. And I just want to have a scene with her and Tony Stark kind of like battling wits.
Oh, that'd be great.
And her winning.
Absolutely.
And battling rockets, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he has something that he's doing with his suit and she's like, you know what? Come here for a second. Just come here. Scan him. And then like, there you go. That'll work better now.
I mean, I'm looking for, I mean, especially like one thing that already has happened a little bit is Tony getting shown up by anything alien technology or any kind of technology where he doesn't have a working knowledge of it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And he, as far as we've seen this Marvel Cinematic Universe, hasn't encountered Wakandan technology yet. So it would be really fun to see him get taken down a peg or at least taken aback. But it's like, oh, okay, they can do, oh, okay, I don't know how they did that. I'll figure it out, though. Like, just that kind of scene, I think, would be really fun.
Yeah, I like that. And then for the chat room, Ollie chose to sit on the cosmic couch.
It's really comfortable.
No, that couch is ridiculously comfortable.
It's
folks.
Really yeah. nice. I really like the couch. And also, I don't want to mess up the table. It's so nice. It's
well, that's so that's a dumb crowded. Reason. The couch is a much better reason.
And there's some icons on it.
We can move Mjolnir.
Yeah. I guess so. I don't know. Maybe next week.
Yeah, and then... Hey, you know you're welcome to. And then also, with our quick news part, so Misty Knight just got her bionic arm, and we have an early picture of that. That shouldn't be any kind of spoiler for you. If you've listened to the show, you know that I've crowed about this before. But yes, we have a picture. It's from Entertainment Weekly, and it's a picture showing Luke Cage and Misty Knight. They're walking through, it looks like, maybe it's a chop shop. It's definitely a car mechanics place, yeah. Possibly. And yes, she has a bionic arm. It is not gold, and it shouldn't be at this point because right. She does go through a number of upgrades.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. I don't think this is going to be the arm she has by the end of the season.
Yeah, it better not be.
I would be like, I expect that to be a different looking arm, maybe even one with fake skin on it by the end of the season.
I like that. No, but it's like if they actually gave her final Misty Knight arm now, she would like demolish everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, she'd be able to control any kind of hardware. She'd have like those concussive ice blasts. She could, you know, go through anything. And it's like, and then plus her arm would be part Antarctic vibranium.
Well,
so
also,
yeah.
Also, one thing with this arm is that from the ending of Defenders, it sounds like this arm is being done by Rand Industries, mm-hmm. not by Stark Industries.
No.
You know, yeah. So that's a different level of tech. So we shouldn't expect Iron Man level cyborg parts on Misty. This is Rand's. Mm-hmm. This is Rand's thing, and like they are advanced, but they're not Tony Stark level advanced. So that makes sense in the universe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm psyched for it. She's gonna kick a lot of butt with that arm.
Yeah.
You know, Nightwing Restorations Incorporated. We're gonna see it. Daughters of the Dragon.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen. Iron Fist season 2. Only reason that they could get me to watch that. So continuing on. So yes, Inhumans. Inhumans will have its IMAX premiere starting September 1st. So between this show and our next show, you will have a chance to view that in IMAX. There's going to be a 2-week theatrical run for it, And the TV premiere will be September 29th. It'll be approximately 80 minutes long, so it's two episodes. So there was a lot of press that, you know, went out last week and part of this week, saying why you should view it in IMAX. So Greg Foster, that's the IMAX Entertainment CEO, he had a lot of things to say about that IMAX, the last time that they coupled together with TV to present, well, a big TV on the big screen. Mm-hmm. They did that in 2015 with Game of Thrones, and it was episodes of Game of Thrones that had already been aired, and they were just like, hey, see Game of Thrones in this way. So they had actually been approached with a number of properties to, you know, be like, hey, we want to partner with IMAX, and they chose Inhumans. So, and also the director is, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Ryle Reen. He's Dutch. I'm sorry for my Dutch people. If you want to phonetically spell it in the chat room, let me know. But he's the director of Man with Iron Fist 2. Mm-hmm. So he is a director on it. There's a lot of people that have a lot of great things to say about you seeing it in IMAX, and IMAX is an experience. Obviously, you can leave that to yourself, whether or not you want to see that in IMAX. I'm not going to persuade you either. Again, for or against?
I mean, I'm of two minds, because on one hand, you know, my inhuman feelings about this show have not changed. Like, they've only really I feel like they've been confirmed by everything extra we see, everything extra I hear. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to really dig this show. However, if you're filming in IMAX, like I am about like however you're intending to present the product, that's how I should absorb it.
Right.
You know, so if you're doing, you know, Mad Max Fury Road, I've got to see that in theater, because that's meant to be, you know, 20 feet in front of me. Like Charlize Theron is supposed to be like a story tall in that movie. Like, that's part of the effect. It's what the director expects you to see.
Yeah. So, and the sandstorm part of that.
The sandstorm. Epicness. It's so many films, like when they're filmed a certain way, or when it's like, this is meant to be a theatrical experience. Well, then I respect that. So I actually might check this out, despite my reservations about it, just to see, like, all right, does the IMAX actually lend anything to this?
Yeah. Are you going, Markia? Big question of the hour.
No.
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 I think I'm going to go. I'm not going to. I've never been to an IMAX premiere.
Wow.
Oh. Never been, so.
Yeah. But premiere or IMAX or ever?
Premiere, both.
No, so, you've never been to IMAX.
I've never been to IMAX.
Okay, well, you got to at least go once, and why not?
Why not Inhumans?
Why not?
I just want to check it out.
Everything's either uphill or downhill from there, depending on your view.
Trying to think of the last IMAX stuff I saw. I think it was... Oh, it was. I forget when Pacific Rim came out, though.
Oh, wow!
Because I saw Pacific Rim in IMAX with Dan Slott, and of Spider-Man fame, and then he and I also saw the Doctor Who anniversary special.
I saw that
in IMAX.
That was Christmas special.
Yeah, that was way fun. I think that's the last IMAX stuff I saw. You've got to convince me that I really am going to enjoy myself to go to IMAX usually, because it's. Like, I'm not seeing Transformers in IMAX, because screw that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Transformers I'm used to seeing on Netflix by this point.
Yeah, God knows.
So, but yes, there was a new Inhumans trailer that was released. It's about a minute long. Feel free to view it whenever you want to. In it, there is fully CGI'd hair for Medusa. So that is a portion of the trailer. Most of the trailer is something that you've already seen. And also, decide whether or not you want to see it. But there is a possible spoiler in it that, not possible, it's a spoiler, that has to do with Medusa's hair near the end of the trailer. Which
I predicted a while back was going to happen in episode one or two.
Right. Yeah.
Early? Wow. Oh, okay.
Yes, because... of money saving, and because of this director.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And there were set photos.
Not director.
A while
showrunner.
Back. So that makes a lot of sense.
Well, also, it's this showrunner. It's Scott Buck. Like, you look at Iron Fist, and he came up every other episode with some new explanation as to why Iron Fist couldn't use the Iron Fist, or why it couldn't be as impressive as it should be. And I'm like, okay, a dude who's, like, done that before, I'm expecting them to do that again with the Inhumans on various levels. So I'm expecting a few different things to happen for why the Inhumans we see won't be able to be as special effect heavy as we would expect them to be otherwise. And there's a practical reason for that, but, you know, we'll see how it works in story.
Mm. All right. I will say, though, for that particular spoiler that I won't say right here, I wish that they had earned that more than putting that in the first Even the first season. Maybe at the very end.
At the end, it would have worked story-wise. That would have been a great place to put it. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
But yes, continuing with TV. So, Runaways, the reactions are good.
Yeah.
Yes. Which, I guess that. Because Runaways is an excellent story, and they have this amazing cast with it. I mean, you see the cast photo and you're like, wow, did they pull them out of the comic book? I think that they did. So Entertainment Reporter Kelly Knox had a chance to screen the first two episodes of Runaways and had an extremely positive first impression. For instance, out of all the other reviews, had the chance to see screeners of the first two episodes of Marvel's Runaways on Hulu, and I want to binge the entire series right now. Like, hey, I'm good for it. I know that I will be binging this because I really enjoy Runaways. And especially with Cloak and Dagger coming out on Freeform. Freeform, right?
Yeah.
Then I want to have this and then go right into Cloak and Dagger.
I wish the Cloak and Dagger trailer had more to really give you a sense of the story. I mean, if you don't know Cloak and Dagger, there's no clue what this show is about. Other than at some point a girl has a crystal, like, knife, it looks like, and some kid wakes up on a rooftop. Like, there's really not enough there to tell you what it's about, you know, whereas the Inhumans trailer actually did tell you what it's about.
Yeah.
The Black Lightning trailer really tells you what it's about. You know, I just wish the Cloak and Dagger trailer, because I want people to get excited for it. I'm really curious to see what Cloak and Dagger has in store for us.
Yeah, well, I would think with us, we know Cloak and Dagger, so we're like, oh, yeah, we're gonna give this a chance. We're going to see it. And I think maybe they were trying to not scare away anybody else that would view, like, maybe a teen drama with hints of comedy kind of a thing. So maybe a possibility there, just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Definitely the trailer was it was like an eyebrow raiser, I feel like, for casual people who really aren't familiar with it. But I'm really excited for Runaways. It looks
Runaways
10 episodes. I don't know if they're an hour long each or if half hour. I don't know if you guys, do you guys know that?
I'd be surprised if they were doing longer than a half hour.
I mean, maybe 40
maybe
minutes.
Maybe 40 minutes. Okay.
You know, that's what I'm guessing. I have no idea, though.
I've been trying to look that up, but I haven't found anything
yet. I'm called the OC of the MCU, so it's like, quick synopsis of Runaways. Well, picture this. You're a kid, and you find out that you have a secret wall in your parents' house. You go through the wall, go through the tunnel, and find out that your parents are supervillains. And then what do? That was just a quick look.
You run away.
You run away.
And you use your powers that you surprisingly have and continue on from there. So, but yeah, Runaways is going to be a good time. So, and then speaking of which, continuing on with the TV, ABC is developing a Jessica Jones-esque Marvel television series. So during the Edinburgh TV Festival, Marvel Television Senior VP of Original Programming, Karam Rake, I think I said that right this time, spoke to the Hollywood Reporter about several projects that were in development. In addition to Marvel's Inhumans and Cloak and Dagger, it appears they have a new project in development with ABC. And they described it as Jessica Jones-esque. So, speculation with that. I mean, She-Hulk would be awesome.
I don't know
if they could do Jessica Walters that way. Jennifer Walters. I'm just got Jessica on the brain now.
I mean, yeah, I would love to see a She-Hulk series. I don't know if they really have the money for that, just based on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, you know, we had Ghost Rider in for several episodes, but he was Ghost Rider always for maybe a minute and a half. And
They'd only have her getting angry during deliberation.
Yeah, I don't know.
Final argument.
The way you could go around that is if you went totally old school and just did it like the original Hulk series, where you just have like a bodybuilder.
Oh yeah.
I honestly think that would work really effectively with She-Hulk.
I think that would be awesome, and because of the Mae Young classic, I'm just like all into like really built like females lately. Like for instance, Jazzy Gabert. She's one of the competitors for Mae Young classic. She is like 5'11". She's like built.
Yeah.
It's like I love that. Let's have her be like the Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. She-Hulk. Like because there's a reality there. That would work really well. You can still use special effects to just show like superhuman strength. Superhuman strength itself is an easy special effect to do now in TV. Like we figured that out really down pat. It's the transformation sequences, and if you actually wanted to go CGI like they do with the Hulk, that is why I would be hesitate to say that's where they're going. Yeah. Some people suggest that Jessica Drew, I don't know that they have the full rights for that, because that's included with the Spider-Man rights, and Sony has to sign off on things, and so I don't think they could do a Jessica Drew.
Although Sony does seem more apt to let other people play with their toys.
Sure, but it's more does ABC want to share the money that much? There's that. Other people are suggesting right now in the chat room, like Agents of Atlas, Agents of S.W.O.R.D. I don't think they would
S.W.O.R.D.
I just don't think they would do a show that would be that similar in both title and atmosphere to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, I don't know. I mean, basically, like, it could be any number of things. It could finally be a kind of like a Mockingbird thing.
Oh, that'd be nice. Would finally like to see that.
Yeah, Mockingbird. Or you could bring in any of the other people, like White Tiger.
Excellent.
You know, there are lots of places you
that
can go with that.
Excellent,
and I mean,
actually.
They should really take advantage of that, because they passed on Jessica Jones before, thinking, yeah, this isn't going to work. People aren't going to be into it. And then Netflix rocked it. And so they need to... There are lots of great street-level women superheroes who could absolutely work on a primetime network.
Well, now you guys got me excited for She-Hulk. Yeah. You know who I would want for She-Hulk? Because you brought up the May Classic.
Right.
Former wrestler Eve Torres. Because she's done acting. I think she's getting into acting. So that would be awesome to see her. But if it's going to be dark and grounded like Jessica Jones, I'm wondering how they would incorporate She-Hulk, you know, breaking the fourth wall. But I think they could kind of do like a House of Cards maybe thing. Kind of, I don't know. It's interesting.
There's a lot of possibility with that. I'm going to keep my one good eye on this to see where they continue with that. Oh, I've got jokes. So yes, with Punisher, and forgive me for butchering this name, Shohreh Aghdashloo. She is an Academy Award nominated actress. She has been cast in. Did I say Shohreh?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Score for
Shohreh Aghdashloo.
Dashlu, thank you. She is cast in Punisher. You know her from House of Sand and Fog. And she is going to be Farai Madani. She's a successful Irani psychiatrist, and she spent most of her life like in the United States. I know this actress from X-Men's The Last Stand.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so
she's a brilliant actor.
It was great. I believed her. I believed her in The Last Stand.
I mean, even beyond Last Stand.
The best thing about Last Stand.
I mean, she was great in 24. She was great. She's great right now in The Expanse. She's a major player in The Expanse.
I need to watch that.
She's just so good, and she's one of those actors who just has a voice that just instantly conveys authority and gravitas. The way that she does it, so I'm excited. Any project she's in, like, awesome. She's gonna be good.
I feel like anyone can recognize her. She's just been in at least something you've seen.
Yeah, you've seen her somewhere.
Seen her.
Yeah,
she's just one of those actors for sure.
Yeah, this woman works, and she's good at what she does.
She's good at what she does, and people get along with her.
Yeah.
She's talented.
Nice. Those are two really good things. but yeah, she'll be a skilled Homeland Security agent, and she's pursuing Frank Castle. So. Let's see that dynamic. I'm for it. Yeah, we also for Daredevil, so season 3, we have some shooting dates for that. We know that it will begin October 15th and it should finish June 30th. Those dates are like anything else. Life happens.
Yeah.
Life will find a way.
Yeah, we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, but since we have Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, season 2 is currently in production, so it's a possibility Punisher might be released November, and then we get possibly Jessica Jones in March, and then Luke Cage possibly the following June. And it's like Netflix has got this, giving us what, four seasons, you know, each year. It's like 3 to 4.
Yeah, like
three to 4 months.
Three, I think, will be like every 4 months. Yeah, something.
Yeah. So
a season.
I'm good with it. It keeps me resubscribing to Netflix. Let's say that. And speaking of Netflix, so of course, Iron Fist. Finn Jones kind of teased how Defenders has influenced Iron Fist season 2. So if you caught Defenders, you'll know that it's kind of a different Danny Rand.
It's somewhat better. First few episodes, I thought, all right, we're getting a better side of Danny.
Mm-hmm.
He's immature, but he has the capacity to realize he's a screw up, and can listen to others, and he's called out on his stuff. So I was like, all right, cool. And the last four episodes, like, all right, you went back to form. I don't care. I don't care anymore. You're aggressively boring.
Yeah. So I wish that I agree with that. Like the first half of it, like let's say up to episode four, Royal Dragon, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
Then I enjoy the arc of what they're doing with what they had to work with, kind of a thing. And then after that, it kind of resonated season one with me a bit with some of the choices that the character was making.
Yeah.
But I like Luke Cage. Well, the Luke Cage dynamic with Iron Fist is what kept me back, in the day.
That was good. But it was only really there in two or three scenes in the whole series.
So exactly.
We weren't given a closure of it. You know, it wasn't brought to its full Cage and Iron Fist
status. You know, and it would have been nice for them to have continued that route.
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, though, I think that's evocative of my main problem with Defenders. As much as I liked a lot of it, as much as I liked many moments of it and many lines and several characters, like it felt like that same thing that some superheroes movie, like, well, they can't be the hero until the very end, or like they can't be the Avengers until the very end. And here it's like, well, they can't be the Defenders until the very... No, let them be a team like by episode four, and then let's see the team dynamics. It's like that old thing of like, well, once the boy and the girl get together, there's no drama. Of course there is. of course there is. So much drama to explore.
Because now they have to make it work.
Yeah, exactly. Like so I thought it was padding too much out just to have it not be a unit until the end. Yeah. And it didn't work within the story. It just felt padded. Finn, I mean, good on them for saying that Defenders will teach him a few things, but the way he talks about it in this and the way it was in Defenders just cements to me more like we shouldn't have had Iron Fist season one. We should have had Iron Fist introduced here in Defenders.
I would have liked that.
That would have been awesome.
Then,
I would have preferred that, actually.
Because then everything, like, because we just had a whole season of him being immature and for, like, in ways that don't make sense for his upbringing and character.
Yeah, because monks are cool and actually pretty mature.
Well, also, like, if you had it, there's a new Iron Fist in training right now in the comics, Pei. And she has been chosen by the dragon, and she's like 12. So because of that, she's got a lot to learn. She is a normal kid who's responding to different things. Even though she's been raised by monks, she didn't like reach the necessary level of training to where the monks said, you can be Iron Fist now. Danny has, in both the comics and in the movie universe, Danny is supposed to... have been training for this for like 15 years.
Yes.
And is supposed to like to for the monks to say that you're the guy means that you emulate the chi mastery and the kung fu mastery and everything here, and nothing in his character displays that. So I'm like, the monks are idiots or trolling us. Or you could have fixed it all by saying the dragon chose him. We don't know why, but da da da. That would have made a lot.
But hey, but
you didn't.
It's on the dragon.
Yeah, like the way he talks about now, where he's like, you know, he shows up from Kunlun and he's got this idea, and then he meets the Defenders and he starts maturing and realizing these different things. It's like, yeah, that's not a bad story arc. I wish it was stronger in Defenders, and I think you should have just been introduced in Defenders, and we didn't waste our whole first season accomplishing very little, honestly.
Yeah, except it did give us Colleen Wing, so I am...
Throw Colleen Wing into Defenders, too. Like, you know,
Jerry Hogarth for a little bit.
Jerry. Mm-hmm. But Finn Jones goes on to say, moving into season two of Iron Fist, I'm actually starting my training next week. I'm being given a lot more preparation leading up to season two, which I think is really going to have a huge improvement on the quality of the fight scenes in season two of Iron Fist.
I mean, a fight choreographer would improve that alone. I mean, that was another thing. Once I saw Iron Fist in Defenders episode one, and I was looking at him fight, like, man, this is actually a decent fight. Oh, yeah, because they have a fight choreographer on this show. Way to go, guys.
So there is that, and that was one of the major points that people had. And also, to apologize for anybody that just joined the chat room now, I thought that we tweeted out the new time. We will be 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. PST, and that is moving from this day on forward. It'll be at 2 p.m., not 2:30 anymore. So I apologize if we didn't have the right information in the tweet today. So, yes, continue with Defenders. Elodie Young. And she's Elektra, and she's amazing. And she goes on to talk about that she would like to see Elektra return. Obviously, she would. Elektra's like unkillable. Well, she's killable, but she comes back.
I mean, I'm surprised it's even a discussion that is just like that, no one's talked to her about coming back yet. I'm like, I sort of took it as, of course you're coming back, especially with the way Defenders ended. Like, yeah, of course you're coming back.
Of course you are. I mean, well, we're not going to go into like if you haven't gotten the chance to yet, but yeah, Elektra needs to come back all the time. And then she goes on to describe that she's a great female character, crazy, strong, many flaws, and you kind of feel for her, but there's a humanity in there. And it's like, yes, there is, and we definitely want some more Elektra. I know that I do. I won't speak for anybody else.
I would like her to have her own Netflix original for sure, her own season.
I think,
to bring her back, I would like that.
I mean, that could definitely help figure out her character. Because that's another thing, absolutely. Like in Defenders, like she has sort of a turnaround at one point. And it's like, oh, what a twist. And I'm just thinking, but why? What?
Indeed, but why?
Where's this coming from? I don't get why you want this in our acting this way. I mean, I'm not against it, but just show me what was the bridge that led here. You know, just it wasn't strong enough. You know, and if you gave her a special, even just a special, a Netflix solo special, you know, you could really like bring her character into a full, strong focus.
Okay, so moving on to movies, we have other. I just thought that this was fun. There's new international posters for Spider-Man Homecoming. There's about 8 or 9 of them, and they're very fun. The first one that we have up here, you see Spider-Man. He's on a raft. It's a beautiful location.
That's awesome.
It's just great. It's just
awesome.
Super fun. If we can see the next one. And here's Spider-Man, and he's sitting amongst, what would that be, a pride of pandas? What would be?
Oh my God.
A flock of pandas?
A bundle of pandas?
I have no idea what the group of pandas is.
Yes, what is a bunch of pandas? Let us know, because he's sitting amongst them, and it's so sweet. Can we see the next one?
I think the correct term is pandemonium.
Oh my God.
And Anthony Faldazing. And then we have, and there's various ones. We have him sitting on top of a monorail system in China. And then, like, we have the Great Wall. And he's, like, hanging out in the hammock in it. And there's other locations. But go ahead and look at those online if you're listening to us via iTunes, because it's just super sweet. Do it at least for the pandas.
I have looked it up.
Yes.
There are three ways you can call it a pack of pandas. Okay. It's like a pack of bears, really, but pandas aren't really bears. Mm-hmm. So you can call them a bamboo of pandas.
Oh, of course.
A cupboard of pandas.
I like a cupboard.
Yeah, or an embarrassment of pandas. Like an embarrassment of riches, apparently it also applies to pandas.
Oh, man, I love
that. That's freaking adorable.
Man, an embarrassment of pandas.
An embarrassment of pandas.
And then continuing with posters, Thor Ragnarok has dropped 2 new theatrical posters. So Marvel Studios celebrated Thor's Day. But we have new posters for Thor Ragnarok. And I like them. They fit in with the theme of what Thor is representing. You know, everything's represented there. I enjoy it.
Yeah. I just love that headgear.
Oh.
Hella with the headgear. Man, like, just talk about going full Kirby. Mm-hmm. This is what I keep saying. You got to go full Kirby.
And I
never thought... I mean, Thor Ragnarok, that's basically all it is. That movie could be retitled, We Are Not Embarrassed That We're a Comic Book. Like, everything like that. In that is full Kirby. I freaking love it. Full Kirby, full Simonson, just full beautiful Marvel Universe zaniness thrown in there. Full pack.
Yeah.
Love it.
And Kevin Feige even tweeted a new Thor logo. And he goes, MCU wouldn't exist without him. Thor Ragnarok is an unabashed love story to his vision. Happy birthday to the king. Eternal hashtag Jack Kirby 100.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's full Kirby. It's good. Oh, I can't wait for this movie.
It's going to be so
movie.
Fun.
It's
going to
be
I'm so revved for it. I'm so revved for it.
Yep. Oh, that's going to be a good time. Talk about IMAX. I'll see that in IMAX.
Yeah. Oh, hell yes.
I want that.
Oh, my
that.
God. Yeah. Thor, Hulk, Gladiator, combat in IMAX?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. He's my friend from work. So Gambit news. Che Tate, also known as Channing Tatum, says that the film's lengthy creative process, you know, it looks like we might be getting some Gambit. It's like they're starting to get to do some of the things that they've always wanted to do with the script at this point. And they got lucky, because it seems like Deadpool and Logan came through and just kind of kicked some doors down from them. Because they were trying to do something different with Gambit, and at the time, people just weren't feeling it. It just wasn't there. Deadpool and Logan come along, and they're like, oh, wait, people want this. They can have this. And that's just one of the things where I feel like Logan really kicked down some doors to make way for Black Panther, because I think that Black Panther is going to wind up possibly getting some of that Oscar. I think it might be like a Academy Awards worthy, and
or it transcends that it's part of a niche genre.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I think Logan's going to help open that door for them. So I love that it opened a door for Gambit. Might get some chai tea.
I still think, if you know Hamilton, like I really think David Diggs would be an amazing Gambit. Nothing against Channing Tatum, but just I think David Diggs would be awesome. You give him his Thomas Jefferson coat, be fantastic. Fantastic.
Nice. And then, the Venom movie might be delayed. Don't care. Oh,
God. No, but go on.
So, the Venom movie is a possibility because they were casting around for new crew members, but they were supposed to start filming extremely soon, by September 1st. Mm-hmm. But so the working title for Venom is Antidote, which that's very cute.
Dumb. And,
exactly.
I was kind of looking at you funny. I was like,
is it cute? Is it?
Isn't it? Cute can mean many things. But Venom's supposed to be released October 5th, 2018. But if they're casting around for additional crew right now, who knows? Who knows about that? The listing was on Georgia.org via Omega Underground. And Columbia Pictures is looking for all crew positions. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just a project they need to take their time with. They can't rush that. And I'm fearful for that film.
Yeah.
But continuing on with Deadpool, and we know that Deadpool has resumed filming, there was a set video that teased, it's a little bit where it's like, okay, you can see where Deadpool is. Obviously, some great devastation happened. There's an overturned truck, and you have a Deadpool sitting on it, kind of being his own Deadpool kind of thing, where he's just like, "And
sup, like, guys?"
Hey. He's like, "Hey, yep. I'm just being Deadpool right here. Do a little wave for the camera.
Just being filmed.
Just do a little wave real quick. There we go.
Yeah. Hi, boys and girls."
Okay, and then that's all that we're going to show of it. There's way more than that if you want to take a look online. But as it is for time constraints for us, that's all that we can show right now. And Deadpool 2 also has cast Eddie Marson. You might know him from Atomic Blonde and Ray Donovan. We do not know the role that he will be doing, but according to his Twitter account, he's in it. So we can look forward to that. Okay, with Guardians, James Gunn has took to Twitter, and he answered a fan question, actually, because the fan question was, hey, would Tom Cruise play Adam Warlock?
And no.
Gunn had this to say, don't you think it would be weird for Aisha to create the perfect man as someone in their mid-50s? The director wrote, also, never said AW was in volume 3, and that got me. I'm like, no, we know.
I need
we
my Adam Warlock.
Is.
Come on.
We know he
Come
is.
Come on. Don't play with me.
Don't
play with
he
me.
He needs to not play. He really does.
So shady.
I
James
know.
Gunn, I love him.
He's just casting it all. He knows how to play with us. That's what it is. And he also held another Facebook Live session where he revealed that Volume 3 is going to take place after Avengers Infinity War and Avengers 4, and that it will introduce some new characters. And these are characters that we knew were going to be coming along. To do James Gunn's quote, one of the things I'm doing with creating Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, it will take place after the next two Avengers Wars, and it will help set up the next 10-20 years of Marvel movies. Is going to really expand the cosmic universe. We're going to be setting up new characters. It will be the last movie of this version of the Guardians of the Galaxy. So bringing in Nova, Richard Rider Nova, Adam Warlock, the original Guardians, which we saw, you know, Sylvester Stallone's Stakar Ogard. I mean, cosmically epic is basically what we have to look forward to with this. So with Ant-Man and the Wasp, we have Sean, and I'm going to mispronounce everybody's last name, Sean Clier.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I think that would be. That hashtag show reported that actor Sean Clier, he's from Happy-ish and Odd Man Out. He's joined the cast in what is described as a pivotal but currently unnamed role. So he's said to be a special agent and possibly a mole of the story. So we don't know. But something really fun with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Evangeline Lilly on set, and she's looking gorgeous.
Oh, so epic.
Yes.
I still find the separated boob cup armor funny, but...
Isn't that weird?
You know, it's cool. It's great to see Lily in costume. It's great to know that the Wasp was actually going to rock out. Like, so... Fine. And honestly, it's not a bad suit.
It really isn't.
It's not.
I love the red accents in there. Very nicely done. But she tweeted, "I am honored to be on set today playing hashtag the Wasp on what would be Jack Kirby's 100th birthday. 100th birthday. Hashtag thank you, Jack Kirby. Hashtag Ant-Man and the Wasp." So, yeah. I like that she understands the history of that. And, God, the pictures of her, like, just being buffed out, I'm all about it.
Oh,
all
no, she's awesome. Yes. No, I'm looking forward to see what she does.
Okay. And so that brings us to Infinity War. So there's a number of, like, bits of pieces that we have of Infinity War. So we do have a set photo that teases Black Widow's return. E! Online managed to get hold of some photos showing ScarJo walking around set. But she had a black tattoo on her back. So... yeah, we have that. She's, you know, hanging around in loungewear in between takes, more than likely. And Robert Downey Jr. also shared a set photo on Instagram. And it's a photo of himself along with Gwyneth Paltrow and Jon Favreau. And it's called, he captioned it, Infinity Trinity. And they're just mugging for the camera. And that's really fun. That brings me back to Iron Man. You know, thing that started everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Love me some Happy.
I mean, that film became the touchstone of the cinematic universe that was built around it. Like, that's the team. That's the team we owe thanks for. Mm-hmm. They just did the right job.
Yeah, the Infinity Trinity. Thanks. I had a moment there.
Oh, I saw a tear.
Or
your one eye.
Out of this one, out of the right side. So we have Dave Bautista, who's... Dave Bautista is just awesome. Wrestling awesome. Movie awesome. He told Yahoo that fans can expect a lot of good interaction between the Guardians and Tony Stark. He's basically pretty excited about it. And just think about this. You have an interaction between Tony Stark and Drax. And we get that. Can you imagine, like, the one-line zingers that Tony Stark will just be bouncing off of Drax? And we just have that beautiful, stoic, but, I don't know, Drax-ness as a response.
I mean, it's also when Tony's been with the Guardians in the comics, he and Rocket Raccoon have such a great relationship of just sort of, like, really not getting each other and slightly, like, annoyed with each other, where at one point he's saying, man... This threat is so big, I wish I could contact the Avengers, like, and let them know that we're taking care of this. And Rocket Raccoon, like, does a thing. It's like, here. It's like, what? Did you make me a cell phone? It's like, it's going to let you contact Earth. Like, but you made me a cell phone that, like, contacts Earth from space? Like, that's incredible. It's like, I don't know what that word means, but you seem very impressed. Have you seen this? It's a cup. It holds my alcohol. Like, just that, like, I don't care why you're impressed by alien technology where you're like, oh my God. And it's like, no, this is the crap that's around us. Just deal with it, stupid human. Like, I would love to see that kind of a thing.
I want that exact scene in the movie now, that you said
it's
that.
It's so good. And, exactly, and then you just got so many great, you know, if you bring Hulk and Drax and Groot into a room together, like, that's just comedy gold to me.
I'm a big fan for it. We also have some set photos that tease some emotional scenes, and we know that, well, we know it's going to be an extremely emotional movie. So we have here, it's Tony Stark and Pepper, and they're sharing an intimate moment. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's very sweet to me. You don't know if maybe this is a hello or a goodbye or...
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
it seems like a goodbye.
You brought Pepper back in Homecoming, which means that now you're giving Tony sort of a happy ending atmosphere. And it's like, I've been saying for a while, if anyone's going to die in Infinity War, it would be, like, stylistically, realistically, for a story, for best impact, it would be Tony.
Yeah. It would kind of have to be him, and I would also see, well, as I said before, I think Spider-Man will become paralyzed right before Tony, because, you know, when you see the trailer and he's on the ground and he's like, he's apologizing, and I think that's because he can't move. That's just my guess with it. Oh, it's so emotional. And we have Tony Stark hugging Bruce Banner, and it's like, oh,
science bros.
Yeah,
Pepper looks really distraught in that photo too.
Yeah, it's a sweet science.
She just is uncomfortable with men hugging.
That's my man.
It's a separate storyline that they're going to get into, and where we will hate Pepper.
You hate Pepper?
No. Oh. No, I adore Pepper.
Yeah, Pepper's fun. I even liked her in, what was it? Oh, God, what was that? Iron Man 3, where she became...
Oh, yeah.
Right?
At the end.
As ridiculous as that movie was, there was fun stuff in it.
There you go. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yes, and then Josh Brolin, he in a recent interview with Entertainment Weekly, he talked about his experience filming Avengers Infinity War. It's now in production on its second half. And he goes, "I love doing Avengers. It's maybe the most fun I've ever had. I just saw a little snippet of it, and it was amazing. The cutting-edge technology of what they're doing, what I've seen, is absolutely mind-blowing. When I saw it on screen, it was me, but also not like me. It's really strange." I just want to see the movie. give me the movie now. Give it to me in my hand.
I still wish Thanos had his weird eyebrow helmet. Because it always has those little things over his eyes in the comics, as if he's got, like, as if he needed eyebrows on the helmet as well. it's part of the look.
Extra emphasis.
Yeah, it's just part of the look. You know, it's there's something missing when it's just a bald purple man. I don't know. It's not it's not quite the same gravitas for me. But I mean, I'm sure it'll be fun.
Yeah.
It's just my own personal preference of helmets.
Okay. Well. we've done great on time. I thought we wouldn't really do it. So any thoughts with like Infinity War now that we have you here? You know, anything that you want to say about it before we head into Mary Marvel?
There's so many reasons Infinity War.
No, Infinity Gore.
Infinity Gore.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Everyone will die.
Logan, what have you
done?
Yeah. Logan made us all level up to just terrible, depressing violence while Johnny Cash plays in the background.
I'm not desensitized yet. Just yet.
Now, Infinity War, there are so many reasons why this should be nuts and in a bad way, and why this should be like, you've got so many players to take to tackle, you've got so many stories to take into consideration. Even if you're not continuing them, you have to partially address where everyone is in their life.
Right. You kind of have to honor it, so to give it context.
Yeah, you it's got to feel like a connected universe, even if you don't address everything that's happening in that person's life. And they have the advantage of it being movies that there is enough time between all the chapters, so to speak, versus when DC TV shows have their crossovers, they're really in the middle of storylines all the time. So it's just like, well, what about like this sorcerer who's attacking Star City? Well, we have to tell him, wait, because Flash needs us. You're right. You know, it's like, you have to address what happened last week. It's not that bad, but still, you've got so many moving parts. You've got so many moving actors. You've got them coming from different atmospheres, more so even than Avengers.
Yeah.
But this has been a while in the making. They're not jumping into this after only one movie of introducing one or two of their superheroes.
Yeah, no, they've lived with these characters.
We've had this going on for over a decade now.
We've IMAXed with these characters.
Yeah, we've had trial and error of like what works and what doesn't. We've had people who are able to learn from those things. We've got a writing team and a directing team that consistently is just so good with ensembles, whether they were directing back in the day on Community or then Winter Soldier then Captain America Civil War. Like, that should not have been as balanced a film as it was. And it was. Like, that you were able to introduce Spidey and Black Panther and give Black Panther an arc, and arc for Tony, and also have an arc for Steve, and also include flashbacks that actually were happening in story, not just, hey, here's the Waynes getting killed again. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't do that with, hey, here's Tony Stark's parents getting killed. Like, they made it part of his therapy where he's causing holograms out of his brain. And that was brilliant to me because, like, one, you're making that part of the present day story. Two, you're reminding us who Tony Stark is, mm-hmm. in case for some reason someone's watching this who's never seen an Iron Man
film. Both personality-wise and origin story. Yeah,
but then also you're setting up emotionally that he is in a place where, by his own admission, he is not over this.
Yeah.
And even in therapy, can't face how it actually happened, only faces how he wish it happened. And that is a perfect thing that comes back to the ending when he sees that Bucky actually, and he actually sees the death happened.
Oh my gosh.
That kind of storytelling, like, holy crap. So that these people are behind Infinity War and whatever's to come, like, I am genuinely excited rather than nervous or anything. Like, I'm really looking forward to this. I know, like I said, I have some story beats I predict. We'll see if that happens or not. I do think it would be logical for them to kill off Tony.
I agree
and
with
thematically
that.
It works, because if you're creating a whole new Marvel universe afterwards, or like going into a new phase, like it sort of makes sense to put some toys away.
Yeah, and let's flash back to Age of Ultron, where he has that vision where everybody's going to
exactly.
be.
Yeah, exactly. Or it could be, you know, Steve dies and the rest dies, and like something Steve told him, he's finally going to step up and do a thing, and he grabs like the reality gem, and now he dies instead of Steve or something, like whatever.
Something.
There are lots of ways you can play with that. I would like to see Warlock show up here, just because Thanos and Warlock have such a great relationship in the comics. And while I know you're changing a lot of stuff, and they've certainly changed a lot of relationships with each other, I really think there's something fundamentally interesting about Thanos when you have Adam Warlock in that mix, like the God Killer. So really hoping that works out. I have no idea at this point how the Defenders are really going to fit into this scheme of things. Are we just going to see them on the street and looking up the sky like, wow, that's weird.
It's like, ooh, this sucks.
Or just is like Thanos going to rain down like androids on New York and Defenders take care of that while the Avengers fight in space.
We finally see Jessica fly up
a beam hits Trish and now she's Hellcat, something. There are lots of ways you can play that. I really hope that we get some, even if she's not in costume or anything, I hope we get some semblance of Captain Marvel and what she's about.
That would be nice. I mean, I believe they said that she wouldn't be in it.
Yeah, for the...
Right.
Yeah, but Avengers seriously, 4. Who do you have go up against Thanos? If you don't have Warlock, then have Captain Marvel. You don't have Captain Marvel, who do you have? Nebula? I mean, you know, maybe. Okay.
I'm predicting for Avengers 4, we'll see Captain Marvel.
Yeah, well, I'm predicting total devastation. And I saw in the chat room, somebody brought up Monica Rambeau as Spectrum. I'm like, yes, I would love that.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
I would love that. It's like, please, at any time. So that does bring us to Mary Marvelites section. And then for those that are watching our show, we are keeping it to a solid hour. 15 minutes to an hour for each episode. So we'll get that sweet spot of fun yet informative for you. So Mary Marvelites, our shout outs, Shane Pickett at DadRad4, Entree Humane at Entree Humane, JJ Lang at JJ Lang Tweeted, Stacey Strange at Irmakova Stasja, and Charles Lee at GoofyFan_Chuck. And also shout out, thank you for all the birthday love over the weekend. I really appreciated that. And then Colt, thank you once again for the comic covers that you gifted us with that we received last week. I like my World of Wakanda cover. It's very epic. And those of you that haven't seen it, then please watch last week's episode. We show it at just right the beginning. So thank you to Colt Badeau for that. And then Robin Beer, at Beer_Robin, apparently turned 19 on Sunday and would like a birthday shout out from all of us. I'm really looking forward to this show. So happy birthday, Robin.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Oh, my God. 19. Jeez. The world is your oyster.
So young and full of dreams.
I know. Okay, so some quick questions. Ken Davis, Marquis McCarty with Marvel, starting their own online streaming company, do you think they would put the right amount of money in their shows? Clearly Netflix really didn't want to spend a lot of money on their Netflix shows, and that's what appears to him. I think Netflix, I mean, a lot of things with Netflix, they like to say, oh, Netflix is in debt with da-da-da-da-da. It's just a different business model.
Yeah.
I think they're putting the right amount of money in things. I mean, there's some of their original movies that I don't agree with. Death Note.
Death Note was terrible. Aggressively bad.
But other things
even as
are...
just its own movie. Aggressively bad, generic, angry
day.
White boy bullshit.
They should have just called it Kill Book and had it be something else completely different.
Stupid.
But they do have original Death Death Note on Netflix, and yes. I'm starting to watch that now. And then from Sean Campbell, of all the nerdy movie and comic shows I watch on YouTube and listen to in podcast form, you guys are my favorite and make me feel the aww. Most included. You are doing a wonderful job. I have been watching since the beginning. Thank you. Oh, we really appreciate that. And then to end out our show, from Jessica's Whiskey 2 at Marvel Kinks, belated happy birthday, Bubbly Markia. More power to your show at Popcorn Talk. And she said it's a hashtag Misty Sailor
That's
Moon.
Amazing.
It's Sailor Moon Misty Knight.
That's fantastic.
With the bionic
Sailor
arm.
Sailor Misty.
This That's is awesome. So fantastic. It's like a Sailor Misty makeup.
Oh my God. Can I see that transformation sequence, please?
I know I want that transformation sequence. So, Alan, thank you so much for joining us and dropping
Absolutely.
Some knowledge.
Absolutely.
Please let our audience know where they can, you know, find you and also some of your upcoming projects.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Sizzler Kistler, SizzlerKistler. You can also find me on at my archives, alankistler.com, AlanKistler. And check out Crazy Sexy Geeks on iTunes and SoundCloud. New episodes are coming out later this, actually next month. And so there'll be conversations with like me and Scott Snyder.
Nice.
And me and Amy Chu about some of the Batman characters. And also we're going to talk about a great book out right now by Kiri Callaghan, Alice, A-L-Y-S. That's sort of a dark, psychological, steampunky version of Alice in Wonderland.
Ooh. Yeah, Ollie, so you can, working them.
Yeah, oh. You can check that out at Barnes & Noble.
Yes. Oh, those still exist. Yeah.
Guys, follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer and follow my cosplay page on Instagram at Ollie Cosplays. And shout out to Damien, aka we know him as Han Solo, who's been on the Cosmic Couch here. I saw you at Palm Springs Comic Con.
Oh.
So nice seeing you, dude.
And yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty, MarkeiaMccarty. And if you like wrestling, tune into AfterBuzz TV, the Mae Young Classic. I'll be doing that Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Starting this Wednesday, it'll be the Bracketology Special, episodes 1-4. So join us then. Thanks for joining us now, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.